true for you. Tra-la-la-la-la.
When we come to a new country as migrants, the first of our requirements next to housing and food is finding information. Accurate, timely and accessible information is very important in those early days of migrants. This is not easy if one does not speak English. Sometimes we don't realize how difficult it is for someone not speaking English to do simple tasks such as telephoning to make an appointment, explaining what is wrong to a health professional, talking to work and income case managers about your benefit, and talking to Housing New Zealand about something that needs fixing in your house. If you or anyone you know has similar barriers, there is a free service that will be able to assist such people. Today we have with us Diana Clark, manager of the Language Line, to inform us about a government-funded initiative, Language Line. Welcome to Women's Voices, Diana, and thank you so much for coming in. Diana, could you please tell us a little about yourself, what your role is?
Yes, I'd love to. And first of all, thank you very much for having me. Yeah, my name is Diana Clark, and I'm from Wellington. I was born and bred there. And I suppose something about me, which is a little bit different, is that I'm an identical twin. And my sister and
are
I,
you?
Yes, and we're still very close. We still live quite close to each other. And a little bit about my life, I suppose. All my life I've been involved in travel. I've been living in some interesting places. I spent a number of years in Cyprus.
That's an interesting place, all right.
Yes, I had a wonderful 4.5 years there. And then I moved on to Saudi Arabia, where I spent 8.5 years working in Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
and
my
goodness. Yes. And do you
speak any Arabic?
Yes, I do speak a little bit of Arabic.
Oh, and that's one of the most difficult languages, isn't it?
It certainly is. My husband speaks fluent Arabic, so yes. It's been it was an interesting journey.
Yes.
I worked in the medical area there, and that's where I got involved with interpreting, medical interpreting, and I've brought that experience back with me, and it's all part of the work that I've been doing in the Office of Ethnic Affairs, and particularly in the work that I've done with the establishment and the ongoing expansion of Language Line.
And it had quite humble beginnings, didn't it?
It did. We started with 6 agencies, and we had those 6 agencies, and that was all about settlement outcomes for new migrants and refugees. And we did a pilot for 1 year.
Yes.
And then we were audited by Deloitte. We got an independent auditor to make sure that we had the right processes and the right languages in place to help the migrants and refugees to get a good information actually from government services, because information is important.
It's very, very important, isn't it? Could you tell me what exactly is Language Line, Diana?
Yes, I love talking about Language Line.
I bet you do.
I do. Language Line's a telephone interpreting service, so we're only available on the end of the telephone. I think you can't assume that the next client that comes along is going to speak English. We're such a diverse country now in New Zealand, and we need to provide services where people can get access to interpreters fairly quickly. And if you walk into, say, Housing New Zealand or Work and Income, you need, if English is your second language or you have limited English, you need to be able to get access to an interpreter so that you can understand what they're asking you to do.
And sometimes it can be very difficult. If someone walks in, you don't know which language they are talking, you know, which language they are speaking in, and you know, and sometimes they can be quite irritated.
Absolutely.
And, I know what you mean. And I'm so glad that a government agency has taken this initiative to introduce these services, because, you know, say 12 years ago when I was a new migrant, I wish there were these services.
We hear that all the time, and that is true. What happened with Language Line is that we recognised the need for people to have equal access. Yes. So the government asked us to put together a program which would provide this access, and that's how Language Line was born. Yes. We now offer 39 languages, and it is available in over 60 agencies.
60 agencies, and you started with six.
Yes, we started. Yes. So we've expanded quite extensively since 2003.
That's absolutely amazing.
Yes, I mean, if you go to Inland Revenue, you go to StudyLink,
yes,
the Community Services card, you can ask for Language Line and you will get an interpreter on the end of the phone within 2 minutes in the language that you request.
And there is quite an extensive list of languages here, you know, not your obvious Maori, Samoan, Cantonese, Cantonese, Mandarin, Arabic, Somali. But there are, you know, not very common languages like Pashto and Urdu and Russian, Assyrian. Myanmarese, Burmese.
What we've done is we've looked at the immigration flows, and particularly in areas like refugees, yes, and family reunification, and we've looked at the census data. And where people have said English is not my first language, or I don't have a good English, we have tried to get those languages available on Language Line.
Yes.
I mean, we are needs driven. We have looked, yes, at the need and said, these people need this language, we are going to make it available.
So it's a kind of a bottoms up, not somebody up there deciding that this is what is needed.
Absolutely. We listen to the community, yes, and they tell us we need this language. We listen to the agencies. They give us information about who's coming to see them,
yes,
and we try and provide. We started off with 35 languages,
yes,
and we've added four more languages. We now have 39.
39 languages. How can someone use it?
Okay. When people have business with the government, with,
yes,
government agencies, they can walk in or telephone and ask for Language Line. It's quite, the person just has to say, if they're ringing up, say, for example, to register a birth,
yes,
they can ring Identity Services on their 0800
number, yes,
and say Language Line and whatever they require. So if they're Mandarin speakers, they can say Language Line Mandarin, and the person from Identity Services will put them on hold and get an interpreter in that language. So that's the important thing that they need to say, three magic words, Language Line and the language
that they require.
And the
beauty of it is that lots of people, support people and service providers can do that for them as well, and then provide them, you know, give them the receiver.
Absolutely. The sooner people help themselves, the better,
yes,
that they are, and they're in control of their own destiny.
Yes.
They can control. And also, it's really important to people to start to understand how the government works.
Yes.
And by doing this service themselves, by accessing an interpreter, they are able to be empowered to do the work and to talk to the government, tell them what it is that they require, rather than having somebody else doing it for them,
isn't it? Is this a nationwide service, Diana?
That's the beauty of telephone interpreting. We're available wherever there is a telephone service. So from North Cape to the Bluff, it doesn't matter whether you're in Napier or Stewart Island or Opotiki, and no offence to Opotiki.
Yes.
You can just pick up the phone and dial that number that you require,
yes,
with the government agencies. If you have, if you want to talk to Housing New Zealand, you can phone their call centre, and an interpreter will be put on the phone. That's the good thing about a telephone interpreting service. It is immediate. So the person can ask for it, and within 2 minutes, an interpreter is on the line.
And the other good thing I can think of, Diana, is that when you have a small community, if you have an interpreter from here, there may be sensitive issues that the client would not want the interpreter to know. I mean, that's something I've come across in my work. People don't want to speak to someone from their own community for the fear that it'll be all over the community by the next dawn.
Absolutely. We hear the story all the time.
Yes.
And the important thing about on the end of the telephone is the interpreter will just use their first name.
Yes.
And you don't have to disclose your full name. You can just talk to the interpreter and the interpreter will only repeat what you say. You not only do you get confidentiality, but you also get privacy, which I think is an underestimated requirement for people, that you get privacy, that you are not going to be at a function and the person sitting across from you was your interpreter and knows that business. And I think that is something that's quite comforting for small ethnic groups
who are not confident with speaking English and who may be new to the country, people are very vulnerable.
Absolutely. Yes. So we hope we take that away and we provide people with confidentiality, privacy, accuracy. We only use professional interpreters. So all our interpreters are professionally qualified. Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's really important. That gives people confidence that they can use the service and know that their business is safe.
Yes. And it's not only interpreting the language, it's interpreting the information as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. A lot of people come to New Zealand and they don't understand the concepts and the systems.
Yes.
That's where our interpreters are able to provide that bit of knowledge for the new migrants.
Yes. Now, who can access Language Line, Diana?
The actual access has to be picked up by the government agency. So if you're talking to Housing New Zealand and you want to notify them that you've got a leaky down pipe, or I'm not going to get to pay my rent on time, it's one day delay because my boss never put my pay in the bank, you can just pick up the phone and dial the agency. So they have to be, the call to Language Line is done by, for that example, Housing New Zealand. So each agency has a unique 0800 telephone number, which they access the service through.
Right. Is there a charge for using Language Line for the client?
For the client, it's free. That's one of the things that we've always stated, that no participating agency can pass that cost on to any cost on to
the
client.
Users.
It must be free to those with limited English.
So who funds it?
We're funded through the migrant levy.
Right.
So when people come into the country, they pay a migrant levy, and that's what funds Language Line.
Language Line. Right. So how can people contact Language Line? Say, someone who doesn't know much English, who doesn't speak much or read English, say, how would they know how to use this service? How do you market it to people?
Okay, we go to Mangere, to the refugee centre, and we talk to them when they first come in. We get helping agencies like ESOL and the helping agencies, refugee services and places like that, and we have a good advertising campaign with these agencies who let people know about Language Line and what it's available. We've got posters, we've got the Language Line cards. Unfortunately, we're not on television, I can't show you what it is, but it's a lovely card which provides lots of information about all the languages and the agencies that Language Line's available from.
And where can you pick up one of these cards?
Most government agencies, if you go into Work and Income and ask for it, and the participating agencies, we provide them with that. We provide them to ESOL classes, to helping agencies. A lot of NGOs are aware of CAB has Language Line cards.
Is there a downloadable version, Diana?
Unfortunately not. because of all the different fonts, it's quite difficult for that to be downloaded. But you can go onto our website, which is www.languageline.govt.nz, and you can get information what language is available, what our hours, what our agencies.
And their phone numbers as
And their
well.
Phone numbers. It's all available online. Yeah. And it's available also in the 39 languages.
We will definitely create a link on our page on planetaudio.org.nz for Language Line. I'll make sure that we
I'll just repeat the website so that anybody who's listening can download it. It's www.languageline.govt.nz.
Thank you so much for that, Diana. Now, are you hoping to expand this service to other organizations other than the very impressive list that's there?
We're expanding all the time. As I speak, there is new agencies coming on board, and we're talking to a lot of agencies all the time. We're encouraging every single government agency to have the service. We've been quite selective up to now, and we've targeted ones that will have good outcomes for the new migrants and refugees. But now we're also talking to medical, primary healthcare organisations and DHBs. Another area that we're very interested in getting more Language Line clients is in the city council and district council areas, because that's a really important area for people who need to know where the library is, what's available,
their rates bills, their garbage collection days.
Absolutely. And also too, I think the more that we can have, people can have a dialogue with their local council, they're going to feel more connected with the community, because a lot of there's a lot of community involvement at the city council, district council level. So I think that's important. So we're actually doing a little campaign, quite a big campaign actually, towards city councils and district councils to get them linked up to Language Line so that they can be more inclusive.
And particularly for people who are not, say, not the large city council areas like Auckland or Manukau, but out of town like, say, Taranaki or Kapiti or wherever, there are new migrants who are going to these areas now, particularly people who come for job work visas. And for them, it'll be a fantastic service, isn't it, Diana?
Absolutely. And that's what's happening more and more. These people who are going to the smaller areas sometimes have the largest need, because they don't have the community support that they need. So they do need to have an interpreting service that's reliable and accurate.
Accessible.
And accessible for them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because they are the people who wouldn't have networks in that area, and they are the ones who would not need to call up the city council and ask for things. They want to know what's happening out there, isn't it?
Absolutely. They don't have the more established communities from their own communities to help them. So they do need the access to that information directly from the council, and Language Line hopefully will be there to support them.
Yes, and I wish people would get this information when they arrive in the country. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're working really hard with the Department of Labour to try and get as much information about Language Line out to new arrivals, so that they know that the service is available and where they can access the service. So that's another important. We work across agencies with other government agencies to try and we work with the settlement people who are involved in settlement outcomes.
Settlement support coordinators.
Absolutely. Yes. They've often linked to city councils and local communities.
Yes.
So they help us get that information out to the communities.
And I think they're a really good first point of contact, because I think a lot of new migrants who come into the country now get a letter from the Department of Labour to contact the nearest settlement support coordinator. So that'll be a really good way of linking.
Yes, we have a good relationship with the settlement coordinators throughout New Zealand, and we keep them updated with what's happening with Language Line.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
We provide them with cards, and we've got these lovely posters as well. Yes. So we put posters up.
Is there anything else that you would like to say before we end, Diana?
I'd just like to say that Language Line is a service which is for the people with limited English. It's really important that people understand that what we're trying to do is get people engaged with government. It's really important. The other thing I'd like to talk about, which is a separate thing from Language Line, is language retention. It's really important too that people keep their heritage language. And that they pass that language on to their children.
It's not an easy thing to do.
No, I appreciate that. But there's lots of benefits. There's benefits for the country. There's benefits for New Zealand. Having a multilingual community is really important for New Zealand. World trade.
Yes.
And also, you're actually, if you keep your language up and you pass it on to the next generation, you're actually giving them a very important gift. You're giving them a bit of yourself, which I think is really important. And it's a pride thing too. I think the communities can take pride in the fact that they've kept their language alive.
Yes, and it's something that you bring with you when you migrate. It's part of your ancestors or ancestry, and you're handing it over to the next generation, isn't it?
And a lot of history comes with language.
Yes, absolutely.
I think we forget that in a lot of cultures, the language and the history go hand in hand. And
absolutely.
I think New Zealand's quite a young country for this, yes. And I think if we look at research overseas, it does point towards that there is huge benefits in language retention and language maintenance.
Absolutely. And that's probably why some of the people who are born here, or, you know, people like my kids who have come here as very young kids who didn't have any pride in their language, later in life they do realize that it's important. And, and then sometimes for some people it may be too late. But I know a lot of older adults who learn their own language and go back to their culture, because they realize as time goes on that, that it is important. It's part of you. It's who you are.
Absolutely. I heard a story about a migrant who had come to New Zealand, but the next generation hadn't picked up the language. And then when they went home to visit the grandparents, there was no communication between the grandparents and their grandchildren, which was fairly sad. So the children had to have a quick update learn the language so that they could learn from the grandparents, because the grandparents had a lot to pass on.
Absolutely.
And were unable to do that.
Yes.
So I think language maintenance for ethnic communities is something that we have to encourage,
yes,
and give people the power to keep those languages alive.
And I'm so glad that Office of Ethnic Affairs is playing a huge role in this.
Oh, yes. We see that as being something that's really, really important, and it keeps the communities, it keeps their identity alive, and it gives them pride. And as we said earlier on, they have a gift to give to the next generation.
And that's probably the best gift that they can give the next generation.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Diana, for a wonderful interview, and thank you for coming in all the way from Wellington.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me. This has been wonderful, and I would just like to say, Language Line, if you want to find out more about us, go to our website. I'll just say that website one more time, if that's okay, www.languageline.govt.nz, to get the latest update on what's available from our service.
This is all our time for today. It was great being with you, and we wish to thank our guest, Diana Clark, manager of Language Line, for being with us today. We wish to acknowledge the input of our sponsor, the Office of Ethnic Affairs. The Office of Ethnic Affairs is proud to support women's voices. The office wishes to state that it is not responsible for any editorial content expressed during Women's Voices. please visit the Office of Ethnic Affairs website www.ethnicaffairs.govt.nz. Today's program is produced and brought to you by Ashoka Basnayake. Join us next Thursday with Women's Voices on Planet FM 104.6 at 7:40 p.m. or log on to our website www.planetaudio.org.nz. Have a wonderful night.